This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Warren Jacker, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Yes, you are on Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic.
And Layla.
And we have a deadly show as always.
Always.
For Urban Dreaming. And that's, yes, Urban Dreaming, creating a platform between two worlds.
Brut.
So, guys, we're going to have a great conversation with a lady named Kalina Sansbury. She's a performing artist and she does a lot of dance specifically. And she's also currently got a few tricks in her trade right now and she's currently working on the Fringe Festival.
Yes, yes, Deadly Sis Kalina and I. So we're both Melbourne Fringe producers as part of the Deadly Fringe program, which Suri now as well is an artist in that program.
Am I an artist?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, that's great.
Dancer too, eh?
Mudich. All right, guys, so we're going to play some Deadly music as well. We've got a really amazing artist whose actually his name is Val Flynn. Now, Val Flynn's actually a really, I wouldn't say controversial, but Val is actually breaking a few boundaries with his music. And
yeah.
He's currently got a great track we'll be playing a bit later on. And we're going to have a chat with him also on the phone. So stay tuned for that. So where you been come from tonight?
What do you mean?
What you been doing?
Oh, you know, just deadly things, creative things, eating dumplings, all of that.
As you do.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, turtle job.
Gulil. So we say gulil in our country. Actually, that's interesting because I haven't been doing that recently. I've been wanting to say to Mob, with the show, we specifically want to try teach language as well. So Layla and myself are going to actually add a few words that we can teach you guys in the process of.
Yeah,
it's really interesting because I know there's a lot of people who really want to try learn language and also just open their hearts to culture, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's vital.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably already know every time I leave the show, I always say Yawar, which Yawar. In my language or Creole or also Yumpla talk, as they say, just means see ya. And then if you want to say see ya forever, you just say big Yawar.
Big Yawar.
But if you're going to see them soon, it's small Yawar. So that's pretty easy to remember, eh?
So, yeah, and I'm thinking, don't you say Yawar to say hello? How do you say hello?
Hello.
Classic.
Nah, we don't really say hello. We just go straight into which way.
Ah.
Or how you, which way.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
So this is a talk show, just so you know, guys. So if you, you know, we have a lot of Indigenous music in general, but we also, we do talk a lot. So if you're not one of those people who like to hear people chatting, but just know that it is always interesting conversations.
Yeah, so we were talking before about the Deadly Fringe program. We can't say too much because we're still embargo. So on the 15th of August, we're actually going to be launching the Melbourne Fringe Festival official program. So we'll be announcing all the shows that are a part of it. There's about 449 events for this year's Melbourne Fringe shows. For 2.5 weeks, 449 events. So you can imagine how busy and how much the city is going to swell in terms of its creativity. And when I say events, it's not just theatre shows. There's like installations, you know, one-off shows, not like a full season. What else? I guess, gosh, can't even think now.
Circus performances.
449.
Hey, look who's talking.
Hey, who's that?
Who
What's
are you?
That extra voice in the background? Couldn't keep quiet there.
So that's our guest. She couldn't help herself. We'll introduce her later, but
Haven't
for now.
Haven't even announced her yet.
But say hello. This is Kalina.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Go back outside.
It's
deadly. No, it's good. She's warming up. Okay, guys, speaking of warming up, we've got the song right now for you. This is Kian. Kian's actually only 16 years of age.
Ooh.
He came out with his first ever EP when he was 14, mind you. And Kian's actually done a bit of work also with Brother Boy. This music is stunning, guys. Check this out.
Can I take you back to the day we met, when I started on my words, and I know that made you laugh, and the way you flicked your hair, and I saw the smile you had. Yeah, I know there's something, no, there's something about you. You've been gone a while, I'm like, where you been? Just split with another man, isn't that like number 10? You say you're feeling alone, and now you need a friend, and know there's something, no, there's something about you. About you, there's something about it, there's something about you. If you got a moment to spare, I've got something to say.
I'm waiting, I'm waiting.
I'm usually impatient, but girl, I'd be happy to wait.
I'm waiting, I'm waiting.
I'm losing sleep over dreaming of you. 'Cause if it ain't me, then who? You feel the same. Feel the same. You feel the same. Hope you feel the same. I walk away. She slammed the door. I should've let you know. I should've told you more. Put my heart in my sleep, but don't know where it's gone. There's something missing, something new, there's something about you. She says she been thinking, I say thinking about. But in my mind, I kinda already figured it out. You say you're feeling something, I said I feel it too. It's like there's something new, there's something about you. About you, there's something about it, there's something about you. If you got a moment to spare, I've got something to say.
I'm waiting, I'm waiting.
I'm usually impatient, but girl, I'd be happy to wait.
I'm waiting, I'm waiting.
I'm losing sleep over dreaming of you. 'Cause if it ain't me, then who? You feel the same. Feel the same. If you feel the same. Waiting for you, always patient for you. Yes, I am. Hope you feel the same.
Waiting for you, always patient for you. Yes, I am.
If you got a moment to spare, I've got something to say. I'm losing sleep over dreaming of you. 'Cause if it ain't me, then who? You feel the same. You feel the same. You feel the same. I'm happy to wait for you, girl. Yes, I am. Oh, oh.
Yes, that was Kian with Waiting. So Kian actually stepped to the spotlight with his Killer Chorus and Baker Boys debut track on Cloud 9 back in May 2017. Yes, 16-year-old Kian hails from the goldfield town of Castlemaine in Victoria and a life surrounded by music and songwriters and rappers. He's no stranger to the inner workings of the music scene. Yes, that song Waiting is basically a killer hook smashing it out of the park and inspired and encouraged by basically himself. And this is the first song that he wrote to the second that was released. And they, I just think he's just killing it in the industry. Amazing.
And
what a voice.
How old is he?
He's only 16 now.
That's crazy.
Beautiful, eh?
Crazy, eh? Mm. And speaking of bios, I'm going to read another one for
you.
Because I'm going to introduce our guest who made a little teeny tiny appearance before. Couldn't keep quiet there. Don't leave her. So our next guest is Kalina Sainsbury. She's a freelance artist who graduated from NASDA Dance College in 2013. Ooh, shout out to NASDA. Kalina is a Ngarangiri, Naranga and Kaurna woman from South Australia. And in her time at NASDA, Kalina had the chance to travel to Saibai Island, Torres Straits and Elko Island, northeast Arnhem Land, where she spent time in the community learning and discovering culture and dance. She is a deadly, deadly dancer. I've been seeing her there at the Next Wave festival recently this year with her sis as well.
Yeah, I went with you.
Oh, that's right. You were there too. Trying to get them free tickets.
It was so good.
So please welcome Kalina.
Yay. Hey, guys. How you going?
Hey.
Welcome.
You just popped up, eh?
So how you been? And, yeah, I hear you're doing more amazing stuff with the Fringe Festival. Let us know more about that.
Yes, I'm emerging producer with Melbourne Fresh.
Melbourne Fresh.
Too fresh, that Fringe.
Melbourne Festival, Fringe Festival. So, yeah, it's been really good working alongside Layla here, and we've just been producing Suri Show, Declan Show, and Sandy Greenwood. Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Proper deadly.
Proper deadly.
But, you know, I mean, you're not just doing that at the moment. You're in rehearsals for other things, hey?
Yeah, last week I got back from Sydney doing rehearsals there with Legs on the Wall for The Man with the Iron Neck. So that's coming up soon. And
that's Ursula Jovich's work.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Ursula wrote the script and it's by Josh Bond. It's his idea. It's his concept. He's artistic director there. So, yeah, it's been really great. It's my first acting job since all the way back in 2008 or 9. So I can add that to my bio now too. Actor, look out.
Oh, well, you should have updated it. Nah.
Yeah, and it also involves a bit of aerial stuff as well. So that's also something I can...
You guys swing off a clothesline, I noticed.
Yeah, there's a Hills hoist involved. I'm in a harness at some points and I'm flying around in the air, which is real deadly. It's also emotionally exhausting as well because it's about suicide, bringing awareness to that. And that's a very close story to us all. So, it's really good. It's been great and I am really excited about the show.
It's always interesting when we do, you know, because as performers and actors and, you know, all kind of multidisciplinary artists, we are constantly being asked to do these types of traumatic shows. And as you said, we can relate on so many quite closely. What's been your, I guess, challenge? How do you get through those moments while you're in rehearsals? Like, what's sort of your process?
Yeah, I have a very big support surrounding me. And Josh and all the other mob create a very culturally safe space there. So we often all talk as a group together and talk about, you know, if you need a moment, go take time, speak, talk, you know, we're all here for support. So there's that, but it's also, you know, you have your own internal times where you kind of give, when you're in rehearsals, you give so much, like you hold back for most of the rehearsal period and you give it all your one or two full out rehearsal times in that period, because if you're constantly going there when you're doing your script, reading lines and all that kind of
stuff,
you wear yourself out emotionally. Mm. and
it's quite dangerous.
Yeah, it is quite dangerous. So, you know, we just speak out, we're honest with each other and we talk about when we need to pull back, and yeah, we just speak out and support each other throughout that emotional times. Yeah,
well, speaking of emotional times, and because we are talking about heavy topics as well, just so those who know, like it's not something we can actually always speak openly about as well, because it's confrontational. So if you ever do feel like you need someone to talk to, just know there is a helpline out there, and that's the number is 131114. That's 131114, Lifeline Australia. Yeah, suicide's actually a big issue, isn't it? And particularly I find from where I'm from, the Kimberleys, it's got the highest statistics of suicide in the whole of the world, not just Australia. Mm. And, you know, I guess when you go back to storytelling, back to trying to, I guess, give people an impression or an idea of how particularly Aboriginal communities are affected by this, it's quite a major issue, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I guess with these works, we do them so we can have them discussions, open them discussions up, especially to, you know, you were saying as well, like Kalina, young mob is important.
Yeah, it's important that we get an Indigenous big audience there and direct it to the youth, because there is a lot of, unfortunately, young people suiciding, and that's what our play is about. It's about the prevention of suicide and showing the effects of the aftermath of when somebody does that. So I hope that people who are thinking about doing that makes them think twice, because because of the loved ones, you know.
Yeah.
And the aftermath of dealing with that once that's happened.
Ensuring they know they got support and love, and that once that act does occur, it doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
You know, for them loved ones. Yeah, true. And speaking of loved ones, though, we got a that was a
yes,
segue.
I saw that post.
We got our first SMS message a bit earlier from Gracie, who's normally
Gracie.
On the panel. Hey, Gracie. She reckons, wish I was there having a yarn. Aww.
She misses us. She's been away, but she's definitely back next week. Speaking of greats, and speaking of times of, you know, I guess times of trouble as well, we've actually had a loss, a really great loss in our community, particularly an actor. His name is Tommy Lewis. And he actually wrote this song before he passed away. Have a listen to this. Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming with Sarami.
And Layla.
And our special guest, Kalina.
Hey.
Yeah, so that song just then, that was Shifting Sands by Tommy Lewis. Now, Tommy Lewis was an Aboriginal actor who's actually one of our biggest, I find personally, one of our biggest pioneers in the industry. And he actually passed away at the age of 59 in Katherine. Mm. Yes, that song he made, I think it was like 3 months before his passing, actually. And he will always be remembered for his compelling and enduring work on stage and screen over the last 40 years. He is a renowned musician and as a driving force and a vision behind Jilpin Arts with his partner and his extended family of Beswick and Arnhem Land communities. He will be greatly missed.
Mm.
Yeah. So in regards to our greats, you know, I think, Kalina, who was one of your biggest inspirations? Or do you have many?
I do have many, but I will say that in the beginning, one of my biggest inspirations would have to be my sister, Nikki Ashby. Yeah, she's my sister on my dad's side, and funnily enough, we met through dance. She was one of my first dance teachers. So she's one of the big reasons why I chose dance as a career.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
How old were you then?
I started dancing when I was, since I can remember, like, I've always been dancing. I danced with my family, did traditional dance when I was younger.
Mm.
But I was a part of a youth group when I was in Adelaide. That's where I grew up. And they're called Youth Performing Arts. And so, yeah, Kuru Performing Arts, sorry. And I was with them the whole entire time I grew up in Adelaide, so.
Oh, deadly.
Yeah.
Look out. And you're not a teacher there now, or no?
No, I actually haven't gone
back.
They
can't afford you.
No, I haven't gone back and taught as of yet, but I do plan to one day take it back to community. But we have gone back and used the space when I go back there, and I do jump in and dance with them mob if I can, quickly learn the moves, you know. So it's always great to go back home. Like, I love going back there and going back there for work.
Yeah, deadly. And I mentioned in your bio too, I just came and added it, that you were recently in your sister's play, Miwi.
Yes.
That show was, yeah, really, really powerful. I loved it.
Incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, we need another season.
Yeah, well, so, hopefully it gets some legs. Like, we would love to take that show around.
Yeah, so no whispers yet, no, nothing you can...
There is things in the make, but my sister has all that information. She's the boss woman for MeWe.
Oh, right.
Yeah, hopefully we get to take that back to community first and foremost.
Mm.
We got our grandmother over, who was our cultural consultant for that show.
Yeah, that was incredible, actually, because you did footage of her, and she, in between the shows, she was doing the weaving.
Yeah, she put on some weaving workshops too, so that was really good.
So you employed the whole family?
Yeah.
Put it within the family.
So hopefully we get to take it back and get the mob to have a look at it and guide us and hopefully tell us whether they can see all those elements that we had in that show. So, yeah.
Deadly. But for now, we can watch you on stage for Man with the Iron Neck.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to gam and plug that show real quick too? When are the dates? And
oh, that's...
You don't even know.
That's embargo.
It's all embargo.
Oh,
yes,
true.
I thought that.
Yes.
Oh, beg your pardon.
Yeah, this, isn't it funny how that works? Because you were on a project. Like, so for those who don't know the arts industry, there's certain things like particular protocols in regards to film and television or theatre that what happens is when you do a show, you might be working on it for like, say, 3 months, for example, but you still cannot announce it.
Mm.
So, yeah, there are certain things you just cannot say until, I guess, the time of the opening, really.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully soon, though, we can put the word out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I'm really interested in? Because, like you said before, one of your biggest inspirations was Nikki, your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've known Nikki for a couple of years, and I've seen her work, and we actually got an opportunity. We both did So You Think You Dance Together. She's gone into this whole new element of her own work, and what I'm really intrigued by is the fact that you are three sisters who dance and are incredible dancers at that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to the day that you three are performing together.
Yeah.
Well, is this going to happen?
We've often talked about it, having a show with all of us together, but we haven't quite worked on that part yet. I've got quite a few family involved in the arts as well, like on my other side as well. But, yeah, that's all in the talk. We've always spoken about it, but not just yet.
Because future. That's embargoed. No, give me a lie.
Well, let's show another track, because this track here is actually the fellow I spoke about before. His name is Val Flynn, and this song is called Stuck on Repeat, and he's actually a queer artist who's breaking all protocols in regards to, not protocols as such, but more just showing more openly what it is and how he's actually really comfortable in his skin.
Mm.
And the video footage, if you get to see it, if you get to check it out, it's Val Flynn Stuck on Repeat. And I'm going to play it for you right now, and then we're going to have a chat with him on the phone.
Look out.
Missing me. It's 5 a.m. and I'm in this bed. Where the hell have you been? I won't take this hurt no more. Am I through, baby? This is where the air begins. Doctor, ready to leave. Why is it me? Why is it me? Why is it me? It's always been.
Dreaming. This is Gal.
Idle.
Steph.
And we're from Sisterhood Festival.
Support our local radio.
Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming with Sarami.
And Layla.
Yes, Urban Dreaming, bridging the gap between two worlds. Now, that song just then, that was Val Flynn, and he's a Brisbane artist. One of his biggest inspirations was growing up with TLC, Aaliyah. Hello.
Hello.
Love Aaliyah. And Destiny's Child. And, yeah, his approach to weaving pop, dance and R&B sensibilities together may take some cues from the turn of the century, Golden Age, but to the raw emotion at the heart of his work is timeless. And right now we have on the phone with us Val. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. So you were just in Melbourne, weren't you?
We were, yeah. My next single, Candy, which is coming out on September 12th, which is a new bopper for going into spring. And, yeah, we're super pumped to release it.
So you're from Brisbane, eh?
Yeah.
What's it like there? Nah, gammon. When are you thinking? Don't. We got to have some mob there, eh? We can't all be in Melbourne and Sydney. Too many flash blacks here, eh?
I mean, I'm a pretty flash black and I'm in Brisbane, so...
Yeah.
Definitely flashback after a black after the video clip we've seen. It's pretty prerogative.
You think so?
Or not prerogative enough.
That's what I thought. Nah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because, we don't have many, queer Aboriginal artists who are in the music industry, so it's just great that you're really showing that the versatility of our mob. It's incredible to see.
Thank you. I think it's important that there's a voice for every pocket of society for our people to be able to look at, because we are multifaceted and we are every pocket of society. You know, we're not just black followers, we are all other different things as well. So it's important that young ones see all sorts so they can recognise that.
Yeah, and I guess too about, you know, this, what Aboriginality is and indigeneity, you know, there's diversity within that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and you know, and showing that to these kids is, you know, it gives them a bit more of an insight of like how we as a people can grow and how we can really diversify ourselves.
You know, I'm looking at your influences, and one of them was Aaliyah, who I actually was very influenced by, and it's a shame, you know, she passed. But her music was always, you know, inspiring, and her video clips were incredible. Was that part of your influence as well? Because it looks very similar in even the sort of colours that you use. And then I also know that one of your other influences is George Michael, and you actually look a lot like George Michael, but black. Do you get that? Do you get told
Michael,
that?
Damn it. Thank you. I draw a lot of inspiration visually. So, yeah, definitely the colours that I draw from and, you know, the fashion that I try to portray, you know, that all comes from, like, that sensibility of that urban 90s streetwear that Aaliyah was, you know, known for. And but then still having, you know, my queer side to me, which is, you know, my George Michael, you know, loving side. So, you know, to combine all those sorts of things, you know, is kind of what makes up that blend.
Yeah, and I guess George Michael and Aaliyah combined, you just want to go outside and rock the boat.
Rock the boat.
I've been thinking about that for the last 2 minutes.
Yes, Layla, my co-host, is pretty out there. Gotta love it.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, just let me. I got to recharge them jokes now. Nah. But Bala, what kind of advice you can give Mob though that wanna, you know, even if you want to share a little bit of your journey and how, what's the best way that Mob can get into what you're doing at the moment?
I think it's about community. Like, I've been really lucky in the sense to have some really good friends of mine that I've kind of worked with over the years and sort of grown up with, kind of be doing their thing in the music industry and doing their thing really well. And so they've kind of, you know, been my support around being able to get into the studio and meet the people that, you know, can produce my music and help me get my sound out there. I think it's about, you know, going to creative spaces in your community and really connecting with those, you know, other creators within the communities that you're in, because they're the people that are going to push and drive you. And I think that's probably the most biggest thing I can say in, you know, this community.
Wow. Yeah, it's so true. Hey, Kalina, you would agree, hey, as well, too, with your journey as a dancer.
Yeah, just having those inspiration Mob and all that there and having the right support and having people around you to ground you and remind you of where you come from and, you know, and the reason why you're doing these things.
Yeah.
And they're all to help create change, like, and take it back to your community too.
Yeah. All Mob in any art form that we're doing, we're always going to go back to community and country.
Yeah, you're saying something
about that? And that's where inspiration comes from, you know what I mean? Like, that culture there, and that's, like, where I drive all my inspiration from, even though my music's pop, EDM-driven music, you know, it all comes back to who we are and what we recognise ourselves as, and that's,
so deadly,
you know, being proud Aboriginal people, and that's the core of everything I do.
Yeah, so true. And with what you're doing, you know, that's a very deadly example of how our culture comes in so many different forms.
Amen, sis.
Yeah.
So thanks for your time, Val. When are you coming back to Melbourne? Because we'd love to have you back in the studio with us.
Sure. I'll be down back in Melbourne in like 2.5 weeks. So maybe we can sort something out then.
Deadly. We'll be in touch.
Awesome. We'd love to see you guys.
Take care of yourself and thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Bala. Yawo.
Yawo. Bye.
What a cool dude. I think it's, like I said, it's really important that we have someone of his caliber and, you know, representing the LGBTI community. So beautiful to see. And, you know, having a voice for people, particularly who, for Aboriginal and being queer, that just goes to show the contrast of how diverse we are.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose, too, just bringing, you know, widening our margins as well, you know, us marginalised Mob, that's just an even extra marginalised group too, which I guess too I got a lot of respect for, you know, you, Suri, for this show, and this show being, it's the only one, isn't it, in the whole country?
Well, of Urban Dreaming, but yeah, I guess
no, but I mean in the whole, you know, continent, this is the only radio show that is essentially just for Indigenous queer folk.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, this show specifically is about bridging the gap between two worlds.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got to find ways that we aren't necessarily talking about just ourselves. We're talking about how we can work together as a collaborative.
Mm.
And it's so important that we have our allies as well. So, yeah. But speaking of collaboration and, you know, obviously people who are on the right track and creating platforms, this is another artist who we absolutely adore and love and have listened to, Casey Donovan.
Standing at your door, I'm shaking, we've been here. to say you love me, 'cause you don't want anything from me. I can't just pretend I don't need another friend. Guess I'm stuck on being lonely. Driving in my car, speeding, lost all control.
This is Casey Donovan, and you're listening to Australia's Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are indeed on Joy, and this is Urban Dreaming with Sarami.
Layla.
Bridging the gap between two worlds, and a special guest, Kalina Sansbury. She's a performing artist, and she's killing it in the industry, and now she's on the Fringe Festival.
Mm.
Too good, too good. And that song just then, that was Casey Donovan with Lonely. That's one of her latest tracks, actually. I don't need to talk about her, because we know her work.
Yeah,
we know
she's self-explanatory,
she is. Exactly. So, Layla... Now you
were,
you're also in the Fringe. Now let me know more about the Fringe and in regards to you and Kalina working together.
Yeah.
How does it work exactly in regards to producing? And let us know more how you both got selected for the Fringe.
Melbourne Fringe Festival has been around for decades. It's one of the oldest, I guess, well, you know, apart from what we've been doing long before colonisation, but it's one of the longest theatre festivals that's been running here in Naarm, or as people call Melbourne. But yeah, Kalina and I, we've come on board as the Deadly Fringe producers, and it's a program called Deadly Fringe. And you know, Melbourne Fringe actually sort of employ three artists and two producers.
Well, originally actually, it was two, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, sorry, normally the program just employs two artists and two producers, but we had that many Deadly artists come through, and Melbourne Fringe managed to get more money, and we were able to accommodate three artists. Yeah, and then still we had extra artists still that missed out that could potentially go for the next round, I suppose. But yeah, so that's pretty exciting.
So this is the second year for the Deadly Fringe?
Yeah, second year, and we got big plans for next year, which is embargoed. Now, Gemini, no, we just can't talk about it. But yeah, but how our job works, Kalina and I, we sort of job share at the moment because we're so busy with other projects, you know, because Kalina's a you know, I'm talking on behalf of her while she's sitting next to me. This is our job, eh?
Yeah.
This is how it sort of works, Nat.
Yeah.
Kalina's a deadly professional dancer and I'm a deadly, if I can say, actor.
But I've seen you on the dance floor too, Layla.
Well, you know, I should be getting paid for that too.
Yeah,
I don't.
Price and everything.
But, you know, we've just been trying, you know, and Melbourne Fringe have been so deadly with being really flexible with our schedules and just kind of, this is the reason why we're sort of job sharing. It's just so much easier, hey?
Yeah.
I guess with you two, though, do you, like, what made you apply for this? And you know, the idea of, you know, doing something as such, like, this is the first time for you both, yeah, as a producer.
Yeah.
So what skills do you need to require to become a producer?
Well, this is the thing, too. I mean, you know, every producer that we know that's been doing it for a long time, when they get asked the question, what exactly does a producer do? All their answers are the same, and that is getting done.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real, the producing just comes in all different shapes and forms, yeah. And it is about,
it's
an everything job. Mm. Yeah, they're a counsellor, they're a middleman, a mediator, you know, they write up contracts and things like that, and just, yeah.
Emotional support,
they're admin.
Is the biggest one.
Yeah, proper, hey.
So you just basically become parents in a sense, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. Producer, yeah. Parent.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I suppose back to your question before about why, what's one of the reason why I went for the producer role is obviously, as you know, and you would know this, Layla, freelancing sometimes there's gaps in between, and I was kind of doing things that weren't relevant to art practice or anything like that. So I saw this opportunity come up and I went for it straight away because I was like, this is going to be relevant to my work.
Mm.
And also a couple of years ago after I had finished NASDA Dance College, my sister, Tari Sansbury, who created MeWe, and her partner, Thomas E.S. Kelly, we sat down together and we talked about creating a dance company. And that was years ago. And that is more coming alive more than ever now. And we have started a dance company, which has been highly directed by Thomas E.S. Kelly. And we have a dance company called Chiral Projects.
Mm.
And, you know, I thought, what else can I offer to this company? You know, and producing is a huge part of getting works up. So that was one of my biggest reasons of going for the role.
Yeah, and I was almost the same. I almost can mirror that. I'm starting a dance company. Now, Cameron, I'm not. I lie, but yeah, last year. It's called Twerk to. Now, Cameron.
Work to twerk.
Don't.
Layla's.
No.
Twerk to your drop.
But
yeah,
I
yeah.
was the same. You know, last year I started my own little collective and it was just about, yeah, I need more skills in being organised and in admin and things like that and just sort of demystifying what it means to be a producer, I suppose. So this was a deadly opportunity. It wasn't too, you didn't have to commit too much, hey?
Yeah,
it
definitely.
It was only a few months and the fact that they've been super flexible with us and their partner, they've got a deadly partnership with Ilbidgery as well. So we work really closely with the Ilbidgery theatre mob too. So
also the role offers training as well. Like we have a certain amount of masterclasses that we can attend that is provided all free from Melbourne Fringe, and they've also got info sessions. So that's been a really great opportunity. So if there's mob out there who are thinking about going for a producing role and are interested in the arts, this role was really perfect. And say if you don't have an art practice, this is another side of the arts that you can go down and is really good.
Yeah, true. And to extend on what you were saying, like there's a lot of festivals and organizations currently as we're speaking are offering a very similar opportunity. Like I know Next Wave have got that opportunity of producing coming out, and then also Ilbidgery's got a few too. So yeah, you mob just need to have a look online, Facebook job, or Gammon call us too at Melbourne Fringe Festival and we can let you know too. But yeah, now is a really good time to just Gammon have a look if you're thinking about, you know, I want to up them skills a little bit in producing behind the scenes because we can't all be on stage. Hey,
true. And we need, it's so important that we have the people obviously behind the stage because these are the ones that make, you know, make the magic happen.
Yeah.
This is stuff we don't normally see, do we? It's always the performance that we see and not the hard work that goes behind
it. That's it. And, you know, we need more black fellas, I guess, driving black stories. You know, we need to give ourselves opportunities, not just wait for them white fella opportunities to come our way. So yeah, get in there, get some training. You just gotta gammon, have a proper look, sift through, and the opportunities will be there. If not, ask your bulla, sissy, auntie, whoever.
Well, speaking of the a possible internship program, there is actually one happening currently with Screen Australia. So they're targeting industry placements to advance the skills of early career creative Indigenous producers. So the Indigenous producer internship program will provide the opportunity for participants to undertake creative producer internships with successful production companies on a full-time basis over a one-year period or a part-time basis over a two-year period, being mentored by an experienced Australian producer. How cool is that? Yeah. So if you want to check that out, that's actually, you can Google it, and that's on www.screenaustralia.gov.au. That's www.screenaustralia.gov.au. All right, guys, stay tuned. You're in Urban Dreaming with Sarami.
And Layla.
Thank you so much, Joy, for your time. Take care. And, yeah,
thank you,
and this is us, guys.
That's all. Yawo.
See you, Joy. This is us, guys. Enjoy your evening. All the best. Thanks for joining Urban Dreaming.
You have been listening to Urban Dreaming with your hosts, Sue Rummy and Miss Elanius, a show that aims to bridge the gap and close the divide. You can stay up to date by adding us on your Facebook and download the podcast from joy.org.au. Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
Tickets for Midsummer Festival's annual fundraising event, Midwinter Gala, are on sale now. This year, the gala will be held in the splendid surrounds of one of Melbourne's most iconic venues, Melbourne Town Hall. Join effervescent host for the evening, Gretel Colleen, to enjoy a three-course meal, fine wines, a silent auction, and special guest entertainers, while raising essential funds towards the support and development of Midsummer Festival artists and culture makers. The fifth annual Midwinter Gala, Saturday, August 4. Grab your VIP or standard tickets now by heading to midsummer.org.au. A community message supported by Joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.